Hi, this is Lead Pastor Dwight Mason, and you're listening to New Point Community Church Podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. This message is a part of our series, High Noon. Everybody faces conflict in life at some time or another. If we don't deal with it in a healthy, appropriate way, inevitably it leads to a showdown. It may or may not happen at high noon, but there will be a showdown. And when that happens, no one wins. I hope today's message will encourage you. Thanks for listening.
So what do you do when you find yourself in conflict with Clint Eastwood? Now, I know you're probably never going to be in conflict with Clint Eastwood, but I know this, you're going to be in conflict with somebody. And nine chances out of ten, you're in conflict right now. Because that's life. We all experience conflict. And if we don't deal with it, there's a showdown. There's a showdown coming. And you know that, and I know that because we've experienced it. And you don't want a showdown, and I don't want a showdown. Because no one wins when it comes to a showdown. And so I want to welcome each and every one of you. We're kicking off a new series. It's called High Noon, Showdown at the Conflict Corral. And I don't want your face or my face to be shown up on a wanted ad because we've done something that we've regretted. So let me ask us a question. When's the last time you've been in a conflict? When's the last time you've been in a conflict? My guess is that you don't have to think very far. Maybe this morning. Maybe yesterday. Maybe last week. Because we all have conflict. We all experience it. And I would bet that each of us have had some kind of conflict on some kind of level this past week at home, at work, and with a friend. And so conflict comes at us in multiple directions. It's not just one place. Some of us had conflict coming to church today. Some of us had conflict in the car today, because conflict is always there. And so as we kick off this series, I just want to let you know of a definition of conflict, and the light bulb will go on, because you'll say, no wonder we have conflict, because here's my definition of conflict. Conflict is created by the gap between what we want and what we are experiencing at any point in time. Wow. So you know what that says? That says that we're pretty much always in conflict. Because what you want and what you're experiencing at that time usually is different most of the time. And it's true in all of us. It's true in our marriages. It's true in our family. It's true in the workplace. Now here's what I want you to know. Conflict is normal then. I mean, if you're a human being and you're breathing and you have an opinion and you have some likes and dislikes, then you're always going to find yourself with a gap between what you want and what you are experiencing. And so conflict is normal. Matter of fact, could I say this? Conflict is healthy if it's handled appropriately. But what has happened is many of us have not been taught the skills. We've not learned the skills on how to navigate through conflict. And so conflict for you is a dirty word. And so we try to avoid it at any cost. And when you and I avoid it at any cost, what happens is we don't have the privilege of being able to understand that other person. Because you'll never be able to understand another person unless you're willing to go through the tunnel of conflict. Because that's why we don't understand one another. Because of that conflict. And so many times we just walk away. But here's what I believe. We're always going to be dealing with conflict. And so since it's inevitable, we've got to learn how to deal with it in a healthy way. In a way that develops us and doesn't destroy us. Because when conflict is mismanaged, it can be very, very destructive. It can be very harmful and hurtful. But when it's handled in a respectful way, in a right way, it provides an opportunity for growth and development and strengthening of relationships between two people. And so what I want to do is I want to be able to walk you through some things that I've learned from many different people and that I'm learning on how you and I can process and be able to work through conflict. Because if you do this, it will help you personally. It will help you professionally to keep your relationship strong and healthy. And so I want us to be able to learn and grow together so that you and I can develop the skills to be able to have marriages that are strong, families that are strong, that we're able to go back into our work environment and to be able to bring about solutions and to be able to help other people. And what this will do is this will help you to become more effective in life. It'll help us to become more effective in our witness for Christ, because I believe this is one of the reasons why the church has been tagged with being irrelevant and ineffective, is because many times as Christ followers, we don't handle conflict very well. We don't process it very well. And because of that, there's much hurt and there's much harm and destruction that goes on. And so if there's ever a place that needs to learn how to handle conflict, it's the church. Otherwise, pseudo-Christianity shows up. And we're really not living out the truth of who we are and who we represent and who we follow. And so we want to be able to do that. And so here's the premise of this whole series. It's this right here. Conflict is our constant opportunity to honor God, to serve others, and to grow ourselves. When you and I learn how to handle conflict well, it brings honor to God. We're able to serve other people, and we are able to grow ourselves. And so the way in which we work through this will have a lot to do with your witness and my witness. And so I want to take us back to what Jesus says, okay? This is the foundation. This is where we need to start if we're going to be able to get to the heart of the conflict. And here's what he said. He said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Now, here's what we need to understand. If we love one another, then we're going to work through our conflicts with one another. And it'll demonstrate to an unbelieving world that there's something unique, there's something different about us. But if we don't handle the conflict well, then what happens is it doesn't differentiate you and me from other people. And so Jesus says here that I'm giving you a new command that you love one another, that you love one another the way in which I have loved you. And so how has God loved you and me? He took the initiative. He pursued us. He chased us. He did everything that he possibly could do to make peace with you and me. And we celebrated it last week. It's called Easter. I mean, he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to die to be able to make peace with you and me. And so that's the way in which he demonstrated his love for you and me. And what Jesus is saying here is that we have to be able to love in that way. So when we have conflict, we should pursue that person. We should initiate it. We should do everything in our power to be able to make peace, so long as it depends on us. Now, what I want to do today is I want us to look at the heart of the conflict. The heart of the conflict. And I want us to look at a writing from a person named James. He's the half-brother of Jesus. And he gives us the answer to why we have conflict. And we have to begin there, okay? We have to understand, why do we have conflict in our marriage? Why do we have conflict in our family? Why do we have conflict at work? Why do we have conflict at church? And so let's look. It's in James chapter 4, and here's what he says. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. Wow. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Then he goes on to say this. He says, when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And so James here is very straightforward. He goes to the heart of the conflict, and he lets us know what it's all about. And this is why Scripture is so incredible, okay? I mean, it just gets right to the point. And so let's break down this Scripture. Here's what he says. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? And so the cause of conflict is unmet needs. Unmet desires, unmet wants. That's the reason why you have conflict. That's the reason why I have conflict. And those desires come from within, he says. And so what do we say that conflict is? Conflict is created by the gap between what we want and what we are experiencing at any point in time. So I have this desire. This is what I want. But I'm not experiencing it right now. And so now I have conflict. And so the question is not whether I'm going to have conflict. Conflict is inevitable. The question is, how am I going to respond? How am I going to respond? Well, he gives us three desires, and I want us to walk through them. Here's the first desire. The first desire is the desire to have. The desire to have. And this is incredible. We want things, right? We want things. Here's what he says. He says, you want what you don't have. You long for what others have. And so what he's basically saying here is that you have a desire for possessions. You have a desire to have things. And what you want, you're not getting. Now, here's what you need to understand in all of this. There's nothing wrong with desires. The problem is when desires take center stage. When your desires and my desires become the top priority. Because the fact of the matter is, God has given us all things for our enjoyment. And so God's not against stuff. He's not against you and I having nice things. But what happens if we're not careful is we fall in love with things and we use people. And that's the catch. That's the problem. When we start loving things and we start using people. And so what happens is this creates conflict, because if we love things more than we love people, then we will manipulate people to get what we want. We will try to control people to get what we want. We will move people around to get what we want. And what ends up happening is things become more important than people. And it's very, very easy to fall into. You see, it's not an accident that Gallup did a survey, and here's what they said. 56% of all marriages that end up in divorce happens because of money. Because of money. The desire to have. And so what happens is we end up having conflict with one another because there's a desire within me and there's a desire within you to have. And when that becomes an idol, when that becomes the most important thing, then what happens is I will use people, I will manipulate people, I will do whatever I have to do to get what I want. Here's the second thing that James talks about. It's the desire to feel. The desire to feel. And this is pleasure. This is pleasure. I just want to feel good. I want to be comfortable. I want to have all of my senses satisfied. And here's what James writes, okay? You want only what will give you pleasure. Wow. Now again, God has given us all things for our enjoyment. Desires are not wrong. It's when they get out of control. It's when we put them above our relationships, above people. And when pleasure becomes number one in your life, and you just say, hey, you know what my philosophy is? If it feels good, do it. Then the fact of the matter is you're going to live in conflict. Conflict is always going to be a part of your life. And when you place pleasure over what is needed to be done, then you're going to be in trouble. You see, here's the problem. I'm more interested in my comfort. I'm more interested in what makes me feel good than your comfort and what makes you feel good. And so the desire to feel good creates conflict. And so here we have the desire to have and the desire to feel good. And what happens is it creates conflict. And so what do we have in our marriage? We have fights over money. Anybody want to guess the second one? We have fights over sex. Pleasure. You okay? Huh? Go back to your marriage and I guarantee you, most of your conflict goes back to having things, okay, possessions, or feeling good. Pleasure. And so James is just letting us know. And when what I want and how I feel is thwarted, then guess what? We have conflict with one another. Here's the third one. And it's this right here. The desire to be. The desire to be. And that is pride and power. Okay? It's pride and power. I want to be somebody. And we have conflict because you're blocking me from being who I want to be. You're just blocking it. And so what happens is we're having conflict. I have this goal. I mean, I remember I was in a conversation with somebody. This was probably about 25 years ago. Some of the best advice I ever got in my life. You ready for it? Got your pens? Okay. This is what the guy told me. He said, Dwight, he said, never set goals that are dependent upon other people, or you will become an angry man. Because there'll be somebody who will be able to block your goal. Which will create conflict. And that goal will become the top priority in my life. And I will be angry and I will be mad at those around me. And so for the last 25 years, I've tried my best to set goals that are dependent upon Dwight. Like, let me just give you a few of them, okay? I don't have a goal for Patty to be a godly wife. I do have a goal for me to be a godly husband. Because she can't stop me from doing that. All right? I don't have a certain goal for New Point. Because that can be thwarted. I have a goal to be the best pastor I can be because nobody can stop me. Y'all okay on that one? And so what happens is it's the desire to be. You know, I want to prove. And when I set all these goals that are dependent upon other people, have dreams. I've got dreams. I've got dreams for Patty. I got dreams for our family. I got dreams for New Point, okay? But I need to be able to realize, okay, I'm going to be constantly in conflict if I have this desire to be, because it's going to be so dependent upon other people. Because here's what Proverbs would say. Pride leads to arguments. Pride leads to arguments. And really what happens is I can become very, very prideful because I'm not getting what I want. I'm not experiencing what I want. I don't have what I want. I'm not feeling what I want. I'm not who what I want. Okay? It's just there. Now, here's the reason why we're talking about this today, okay? Because this is the heart of the conflict. Because it begins in my heart. James says, you want to know why you have conflict? Unmet desires. Where do those desires begin? They begin in your heart. Look at what Jesus has to say. He says this, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. You ever had an evil thought towards a person? Huh? Don't look sideways, okay? You ever had an evil thought towards a person? Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft. Check this out. False testimony and slander. Wow. So what happens is we have to deal with the heart of the conflict. And the heart of the conflict is my unmet desires. And again, desires are not wrong. But what happens is when they take the top priority in my life, they become idols, idolatry, and that's wrong. So let me share with you how this kind of works in our life when our desires go unmet, okay? Let me give this to you, okay? Here's how it works. Here's the progression, okay? The first one is desire. We have a desire. And conflict always begins with some desire. I guarantee you, if you're in conflict with your spouse or with your mom or dad or a friend or a girlfriend or a boyfriend, I guarantee you it's because a desire is not getting met. Someone is standing in the way of your desire, And so what happens is if you don't handle it appropriately, then what happens is it can become harmful. It can become destructive. And what will end up happening is you will end up forsaking that relationship because you didn't get your desire met. Because there's a gap between what you want and what you're experiencing. Matter of fact, that's why people get divorced. You want to know why people get divorced? Because what they want and what they're experiencing in that relationship isn't coming together. So guess what? My desires are not being met, so I am out of here. And so for those of us who are followers of Christ, what does that say to an unbelieving world? Especially when Jesus said that they will know that we are disciples by our love. And love is a commitment. Listen to me. Love is a commitment to work through our differences. And so what happens is it begins with desire. And any desire that is raised above God is an idol. Because here's what Jesus would say. All right? By the way, I like quoting him, okay? He says, blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. Wow. You know what he's saying? He's saying the only way that you and I are ultimately going to be satisfied, the only way that you and I are going to be able to satisfy our desires is to actively seek a right standing with God. Because those things that you desire to have, there's nothing wrong with those. Those feelings that you desire to have, nothing wrong with those. Those things that you want to be, nothing wrong with those. They will not ultimately satisfy you. And so what happens, it begins with a desire. And yet when that desire is not met, it progresses to be a demand. It progresses to be a demand. Are you familiar with this? Sure you are, because we've all been there, okay? When we have a desire that's unmet and we feel that we deserve it, that it's rightfully ours, and we must have it to be happy, we must have it to feel good about ourselves, we must have it to feel that we're important, what happens is we begin to demand it. And even in demanding it, you know what we do? We speak ways in which we legitimize it to ourselves. Well, I did this, so I deserve this. Or I've provided in this way, so I should get this. Or I've given, so I should have my desires met. And if desire isn't fulfilled, then it turns into a vicious cycle. And the more that we want something, the more that we think we need it, the more that we believe that we deserve it, the more that we think that we're entitled to it, the more convinced we are that we cannot be happy or fulfilled without it. And so what happens is it can be very, very destructive because now we demand it. And we go from desire to demand. Here's what Paul says. He's talking to the church in Philippi, and he's talking about this. And here's what he says. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. I love what one translation says, okay? He says that their God is their emotions. And we all know about an appetite, right? If you feed an appetite, it's never satisfied. It just grows and grows and grows and grows. And what he's saying is their God is their desires. It's their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth. They only think about the now. The now. They don't have the big picture. And so they demand things right now. And so what happens is it goes from desire to demand. You ready for this one? To judge. We start judging. We start judging that person in our life. Because when somebody fails to satisfy our desires or to live up to our expectations, you know what we do? We criticize. We condemn. And we do it within our own heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, the mouth gives false testimony. Out of the heart, it slanders. And so what happens is we end up nitpicking with one another. We nag one another. We attack. We condemn. And basically what we're doing is we're playing God. And when you and I judge other people for not meeting our desires, listen, we're imitating the devil. Do you know that? We're imitating the devil. Look at what James has to say, the same one that we've been looking at, why you have fights and quarrels among you. Here's what he writes. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by their deeds done in what? Humility that comes from wisdom. Here's what he says. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Y'all okay? Demonic. And so what happens is when I start judging because somebody's not meeting my need or my expectation or my desire, I'm imitating, I'm acting like the devil. And the more that somebody doesn't meet my need, the harsher I can become. Now, here's what we need to realize. Expectations and desires are not inherently bad. Okay? Especially if they've been agreed upon. But the fact of the matter is they can lead you and I to unhealthy conflict if we're not careful. And so what we have here is we have a desire that can lead to a demand that can lead to you and I judging them, and then punishing them. You know what? You have to pay a price. Why is this? Listen to me. Idols always demand a sacrifice. And if my idol is to feel good, then it's going to demand a sacrifice. If my idol is to have, then it's going to demand a sacrifice. If my idol is to be, then it's going to demand a sacrifice. And when somebody fails to meet our desires or our expectations, our idols demand that they should suffer. And we will find a way to punish them, to get them to cave in to meet our desires. And this can take many, many different forms. In our relationship with one another, we can have an outburst of anger. And we punish maybe a spouse, maybe a son or a daughter, maybe a mom or a dad, maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a friend, maybe an employee, maybe a leader. Or we can use hurtful words that cut to the core of who we are. Or we can guilt them and shame. After all I've done for you, just think of what I've done for you. We can guilt them and we can shame them. How about this one? The silent treatment. Okay? Let me tell you what can happen in marriages. We can withhold affection. We can withhold touch. We can withhold intimacy. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. You're going to pay for it now. You're going to pay for it. And so what happens is we can end up punishing people. We can pout. We can avoid. We can live in isolation. And we basically say, when your attitude gets in line with what I want, when your actions get in line with what I want, then you won't suffer. But until then, you will suffer. And really what's happening is that we are acting in unbelief, because what we're saying is, God, you can't satisfy me. You see, here's what James says. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and you kill to get it. How can I punish them? How can I inflict on them? You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it from them. Wow. And so that's the heart of the conflict. It's unmet desires in me and you. And I'm not proud. I've acted probably in all of those ways, either towards Patty or towards my kids and towards coworkers. You know, none of us are perfect. This isn't a condemning message. This is just one that I want to draw our attention to be able to say, I have to understand what war's inside of me and to be able to deal with that first. You see, Paul says it like this. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Do you have interests? Sure. Do I have interests? Sure. But I'm not to put them above other people. Do I have desires? Yeah. Do you have desires? Yeah. But we're not to put them above other people. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What did we say Jesus said? I'm asking you to love one another the way in which I've loved you. Jesus initiates, he pursues, he chases you and me so that we can be at peace with him. And he wants you and I not to avoid other people that we have disagreements with or that we have arguments with or that we have problems with, that we will say, hey, let's come and let's sit down. And by the way, next week we're going to talk about that, so come back. But I've got to deal with the heart of the conflict. Here's what Dr. Henry Cloud has to say. External conflicts are difficult to resolve before resolving the internal conflict that fuels them. Wow. So I got to deal with my own desires, the desire to have, the desire to feel, the desire to be. He says that's why so many people give up and walk away, thinking that they have left the conflict by getting away from the person, only to see it again and again and again. Why? Because I got these desires that wage war inside of me, and I bring them into every relationship I have. And if I don't understand that, if I don't acknowledge that, then I won't address it. And so I will just see it again and again. I'll move from this workplace to this workplace. I'll move from this church to this church. I'll move from this marriage to this marriage. I'll move from this relationship to that relationship. And guess what? I'll just see it again and again and again and again and again. Now, it's agonizing to live in constant conflict. But I want to give you something that's even tougher than that. I want to give you some homework. Okay, here's what Jesus says. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And so here's what I want you to do. Here's your homework. I want you to think of the conflict that you find yourself in right now. What desire is not being met? Is it because you're not getting something that you want? Is it because you're not feeling what you want to feel? Is it because you're not able to be who you want to be? And what Jesus is saying is, Dwight, if you will identify that, then you can see more clearly on how to be able to work and process this conflict. And so it's agonizing, it's hard, it's tough, but it's worth it. And I encourage you to do that. So remember, okay, this. Conflict is our constant opportunity to honor God, serve others, and grow ourselves. I hope you'll stay with us through this series because conflict is inevitable, but it doesn't have to be destructive. It can honor God, it can serve others, and it can grow you. Let's pray. God, we thank you today that you have given us the example on how to work through conflict. You took the initiative 2,000 years ago to visit earth and to pursue us and to sacrifice and to lay down your life so that we could have peace with you. And you have called us to imitate you and to be able to bring what you have done for us into every relationship that we have. And so, God, I pray for myself, and I pray for my friends here today that we will begin to learn skills and learn truth and apply it to our lives so that we can have strong, healthy relationships with the people that's most important to us and be that example for everyone else that we know you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision that you have made or let us know how God is moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcast through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.